Please be seated. Beloved, today we come to the end of the series that we've been doing from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I think that it has worked out that this is a very good sermon for Father's Day, what we call Father's Day. The sermon title is Man's Whole Duty. Man's Whole Duty. And that's the generic use of the word instead of the genetic use of the word. It means people, the whole duty of people. From Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 to 14, this is what we read. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yes. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making of many books there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. This is the conclusion of the sermon of Solomon as he assembled the congregation and probably spoke these words, but they are written, so whether they were heard or written, they do contain truth. And although there is a contrast between Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, we need to know that the Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. So although Ecclesiastes is from man's perspective, this was the wisest man who ever lived on the face of this earth other than Jesus Christ. God gave him wisdom, power, money, strength. He had everything to try everything that he could think of to try to see if there was any happiness in this life system without knowing God. And his conclusion was, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now this word vanity means nothing, nothingness. Everything is nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whether mankind knows it or not, each individual is responsible to seek God and to keep His commandments. This is incumbent upon every individual who is living and every individual who has ever lived. When God created man and put him in the Garden of Eden, we read in the second chapter of Genesis that God commanded the man, saying, of all of the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now, beloved, this was not a weak request. This was a command. God commanded the man. And we have in that section of Scripture the principle that we are obligated to obey Almighty God. Now, that one commandment was all that man had at that time. Man was not able to keep that one commandment, so at Sinai, God gave him 10. We sing the song sometimes, and I thought maybe we should have sang the song today, Trust and Obey. And I remember some years ago, we were getting ready to sing that song in the congregation, and I said to the congregation before we stood to sing the song, if you don't have any intention of trusting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and your heart is not inclined to obey Him, you should not stand and sing this song. Thank you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, as the richest, wisest, wealthiest, most powerful king on earth at the time, Solomon decided, and I believe that near the end of his life, to share with those who would hear him what he went through trying to find some happiness in this life without God. Well, beloved, there is no happiness in this life without God that's not extremely short-lived. You may do some things and get a little pleasure, but it's going to vanish away. Now, the preacher starts his sermon, a sermon called Ecclesiastes, and this word actually means assembly, with the theme, and he follows this theme throughout the sermon. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The bottom line of what he is saying is life is short. And no matter what you do or accomplish in life, you're going to die, and when you die, it's all over. Now, he begins the sermon by saying that there is no remembrance of one's labor in death. You can work as hard as you want to work and build as much as you want to build and do as much as you can do, but when you die, you're going to leave it right here. All of one's work will still be here after death. And Solomon, giving consideration to this, says, well, you know, why is it that man should work so hard for anything? Well, that question will be answered if we study the book of Ecclesiastes, because he does come to the conclusion that we are to fear God and keep his commandments. There is much grief in wisdom, he says. It offers no lasting satisfaction, no matter how wise you are. Because no matter how much wisdom you have, that wisdom comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So no matter how much wisdom you have, and no matter what you accomplish with your wisdom, when you die, you're going to leave it right here. It's going to be right here. And that goes for your money, too. Now, he says also that pleasure is vain. There's no lasting, no permanent peace or happiness in pleasure. No matter what you do for pleasure, it's all passing away. It's only going to last for a little while. And by a little while, I mean that even if you live 100 years, what is that to eternity? That's like nothing. Wise men and fools meet the same fate, he says. Both are headed for the grave. There's a time and a place for everything. And this is one of the sections of the Ecclesiastes that people love to look at. There's a time and a place for everything. And some people use that to express themselves, and some worse than expressing themselves, they do evil because they say that there's a time and place for everything. And that's misusing the Word of God. He says that when you consider this life, you find that many things in life are not just. There's injustice in high places. There's corruption in high places. And this, too, is vanity. Because people who are in authority and in occupying high places ought to know that they are going to be judged. But they don't. Selfish toil is vain. If you are working your heart out to satisfy yourself, and you're not working for any other reason, that's vain. Friendship is valuable, he says, because two are better than one. And if one falls, the other one has to help him up, and that's good. But he also says, popularity passes away. And this is one thing that I think that many people today would be well advised to give some consideration to. No matter how popular you are, it's going to pass away. In fact, you're going to pass away if the Lord delays his coming. Both gain and honor are vain, he says, because of the same reason, you're going to die. So you get all of the stuff that you can get. I heard a little quip the other day. Donald Trump was saying that he bought a building some years ago for $1 million, and that $1 million building that he bought some years ago is worth probably $400 million now. It was in downtown New York. And when I saw that, I thought, yeah, that's good. But you're going to die, and you're going to leave it right here. It's not going anywhere with you. And it's somewhat burdensome at times to develop a biblical worldview because you see things that are so heartrending. I was watching the U.S. Open on television yesterday, and I saw all of those people out there looking at the golf game and cheering on the golf players and having what they considered to be a ball. And I wondered, and there are thousands of people. And I wondered in my heart, how many of these people really know what life is all about? Life is not about hitting a golf ball into a hole. No matter how much money you make at doing it, that's not what life is all about. Life is not all about the fame and fortune that you get, and it's not all about cheering other people on. The whole duty of man is to know God and keep his commandments. How many people today actually know God? Now, beloved, let me tell you something. There's some of you in here right now who don't know God. You don't know who God is. You think that you're in control of your life. You are not in control of your life. God is in control of your life. And God has made you just the way he would have you, and he has put you right where you are right now. God is sovereign over everything, or he isn't sovereign over anything. And there are many people in the church who don't know that. Almighty God created this cosmos for his own glory. Almighty God created man and put him on the earth for his glory. You, beloved, and I are for God's glory. We are to know, love, and serve God. That's our purpose in life. Solomon says in this sermon of his, Ecclesiastes, that practical wisdom is valuable because it causes one to think about the works of God. How many people really think about the works of God? This is Father's Day, a day that we call Father's Day. How many of you fathers today have thought about the miracle of life? What a fantastic, tremendous miracle life is. And how many lives we abort in this nation and around the world. It's something to think about. And the people who are supposed to be thinking about these things, the people who make the laws, the people who are chomping at the bits for a woman's right to choose, I agree that a woman has a right to choose. A woman has a right to say no. That's her choice. But if she does not say no, and she engages in sexual activity, and there is an offspring on the way, she does not have a right to kill it. Because we need to think about what God is doing, and the Bible says that the fruit of the womb is God's reward. Now, there's some people who try for years to have a child and they never have a child. There are other people who try not to have a child and they have one child after another. God is in control of all of it. If you are a father, you need to know that a child deserves a mother and a father and a stable home. And if you can't provide for the mother of the child and a stable home, then you need to restrain yourself. It's just that simple. The Bible says that this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You don't have to worry about it. That's God's will. Solomon says in this sermon here, for God's sake, we are to obey authorities because there is no authority except from Almighty God. Wisdom is better than folly, and diligence in all things is valuable. One of the things that the Spirit of God impressed upon me as I've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes is that although Solomon is looking at things from man's perspective, he's a very wise man. And his conclusions, all of his conclusions are in concert with the rest of the will of God. Because he concludes that if you are wise beyond anything on earth, if you are rich beyond anything on earth, and Solomon was filthy rich, if you are powerful, he's a king, he has all of the power, he can cause people to live or die, he can tax people, he can do all of that stuff because he's a sovereign king. All of these things are nothing without God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life is vain even right now. Because God is going to bring every action into judgment. And how are you going to stand in the judgment if you have not trusted the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? The conclusion of this sermon is primarily for young people. And I'm glad to see our young people here today. I love to preach to young people because I think that if the Spirit of God would give you the grace to believe at a young age, you'd be spared many harmful and hurtful sins down the line. Hallelujah. Now, seek God early in life, Solomon says, and come to grips with the whole duty of man. Young people, and some of you old people who don't know, your propriety in life is to fear God and keep His commandments. Now, the word fear God could be also translated worship God. We are to worship God. We're not to worship the things of this world. In fact, the things of this world are to be put in their proper place. There is a place for things in the world. All of the things in the world are not bad or not evil, but we can make them bad or evil by our attitude toward them. There is nothing but vanity, hopelessness, and vexation of spirit in those who seek lasting pleasure and happiness in the things of this world, and this is what Solomon is saying in this sermon. Now, as far as our text is concerned, we see here, in the text, the wise preacher is ending his sermon on vanity, and he says in verse 8, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. That's how he starts the sermon out. If you go back to chapter 1, you see in chapter 1, he says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Now, what he's talking about is people in the world who live and acquire the ability to do a lot of different things, but they don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, it's all nothingness. It's empty because you're going to die. That's a given. Now, I know in some of our colleges and universities today, you have unbelieving professors who are teaching folks, teaching students that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, if you happen to be in school today, you can raise your hand and say, I know of an absolute truth. And the professor says, well, what is it? You can tell him, well, you're going to die. That's absolute. But anyway, Ecclesiastes was obviously written when Solomon was an old man. He had lived a long time. He had seen a lot of things. And much of the counsel and advice that he gives here comes from life's experience. Those of us who the Lord had blessed to live a long time have seen a lot. And if we have given serious consideration to some of our life's experiences and some of the things that we've seen, we can advise young people and hopefully spare them, keep them from a lot of serious mistakes. I've tried to do that in my life. I have counseled young people and given them what I thought was the benefit of the experiences that I've had, and some few of them have taken the advice, but most of them have not. You know what happens when you spurn good advice? You pay the price. That's what happens. But anyway, he taught the people knowledge. He was a very wise man. And he sought acceptable words to impress upon young and old true wisdom. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, Pilate asked him what was truth. And Jesus didn't answer because he was looking at truth and couldn't see it. We have truth in the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. Now, whether you agree with it, whether you interpret it rightly or wrongly, no matter what you do with it, it is truth. The Bible interprets itself, and the Bible is its own dictionary. Now, you may come up with an understanding of a passage of Scripture that's really not right, but one of the things that Martin Luther said was that Scripture is truth, and when we apply common sense to it, we can arrive at the truth. Solomon taught acceptable words to impress upon young and old, and some of his expressions are strange to us because we don't think of things in these terms anymore. For example, he says here in verse 9, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now, Solomon was a proverbist, and he wrote many of the proverbs that's in the book of Proverbs, because he was an extremely wise man. But one thing I want to share with you this morning about Solomon. Solomon asked the Lord to give him wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And Solomon wrote this book, Ecclesiastes. But when you study the Chronicles of the Kings, you see that in the end of Solomon's life, God was angry with him because he committed idolatry, the wisest man on earth. Now, if Solomon could commit idolatry, where do we stand? Anyway, the consequences of ignoring instructions like he's giving us here can be devastating. Now, the preacher refers to what was previously written as being truth. The words of the wise are like goads or like nails. And the words of the wise are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And when you drive the nail in and you drive it all the way in, you have a true connection between what you're trying to fasten together. So what Solomon is saying here is that the word of God is like nails given by one shepherd. And of course, the good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the nails has no blemish in them. And they reach to the same depth of truth, which is the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, verse 12 is a courtly piece of advice. Be careful with your reading material. Of the making of books, there's no end. And much study is weariness of the flesh. Now, some of our students know that. Some of us have forgotten it. But believe me, beloved, much study is weariness of the flesh. And the writing of many books, there's no end. We need to be careful what we look at. We need to be careful what we read, because we can be subtly influenced to sin by the things that we see and the things that we read. And one of the things that I would caution our congregation about this morning is governing the viewing of your children on television. You need to be careful what your children are watching on television, because most of what is on television is blatant sin. That's what it is. It's sin. And it's so prominent and so prevalent until many times parents just overlook it. And parents say, oh, it's just television. That's okay. Well, it's not okay, because what they are seeing on television is making impressions on their hearts and minds. And you need to govern what they watch on television. Turn the television off. Tell them you can only watch television for a certain amount of time, and you govern what they watch on television. If you're running your house, the children don't tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. In the making or writing of books, there's no end. Much study is weariness of the flesh. Now let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. All that Solomon has put forth in the book of Ecclesiastes comes to a conclusion. And what does he say in the conclusion of this whole matter? Further, my son, be admonished by these. Making of many books, there's no end. Much study is weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. As we look around today in our world, in the society that we live in, how many people today actually fear God? How many people today worship God? One of the things that the Lord has taught me as pastor of this church over a number of years is that in this community, demographically, in this community, it is extremely difficult to build a Reformed church. The reason that it's extremely difficult to build a Reformed church in this community is because what people do on Sunday is get up and read the paper and cut the grass. They don't have any inkling that their obligation and duty to God is to serve him and worship him. They don't know. But now, is ignorance of the law an excuse? We've got a couple of lawyers here this morning. I know that they can tell you, you may not know the law, but if you violate it, you can be found guilty of it. Isn't that right? So ignorance of the law is no excuse, because people don't know that they're obligated to worship and serve God is no excuse, because the text says God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You're not hiding from God. You're not doing anything that God doesn't know about. He knows your down sitting and your uprising, even knows your thoughts. Almighty God knows everything. Now, this sermon contains a litany of things tried and considered, and the conclusion is that they're all vain. Everything is vanity. And why? because God is going to bring everything into judgment. And when you face the judgment, if you face the judgment without having put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. God is going to say, "Be gone from me. I never knew you." Now, I want to conclude our sermon this morning with what I consider to be an excellent biblical illustration of what Solomon is saying in the book of Ecclesiastes. There was a rich man who had two sons. And one of the sons decided, the youngest son decided, "This work on the farm is getting next to me and I don't like it, so I'm going to ask my father to give me my money so I can go." So he asked his father to give him the money so he could go. So his father gave him the money and he went into the city and he started having a ball. But the money ran out. And when the money ran out, he found himself feeding pigs in another man's farm. And then he came to himself and he said, "You know, my father has got plenty of food. His servants are well fed, and here I am eating after the pigs. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go back home." He went back home, and his father opened up his arms and said, "My son who was lost is now found." Hallelujah. Everyone in the world who is trying to find permanent pleasure in the things of this world is just as lost as a prodigal son. And when you decide to come back to your father will open his arms and take you in. "In my father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you so that you can be where I am." What you need to do, beloved, is to learn the lesson of the book of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep his commandments, because God is going to bring everything into judgment. Every work he's going to bring into judgment, whether good or evil. And how will you fare in the judgment if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, if you are not sure of your salvation, you need to see me or one of our elders or one of our deacons after the church service is over and ask us to give you some help, and we'll help you make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word of truth. We even thank you for the difficult parts of it. And we ask, Lord, that it would be pleasing in your sight to let us hear what our whole duty is, not only in our ears and in our head, but in our hearts, and help us to serve you so that we will hear you say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." To this end we labor. We beg you to hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.